Take our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. We learned last week that Luke had joined this journey and also Timothy. So we have Paul and we have Silas and we have Timothy and Luke heading out on this missionary journey. And last week we saw that Paul had a desire to go one way and God told him no. And then Paul had a desire to go another way and God said no. And Paul had a desire to go another way and God said no. And we looked at this idea that what to do when God says no. Now, you would think that after God gave Paul a vision, and they said the man of Macedonia said, come over and help us, you would think that he would have no problems, right? There would be no issues. In the middle of God's will, God sent him to this place. There's no way that God would allow anything bad to happen. The title of this morning's message is, God's Will Brings Opportunities and Opposition. God's Will Brings Opportunities and Opposition. If we are doing what God wants us to do in God's place, in God's timing, in God's way, and the opportunities are overwhelming. It's amazing what God can do with just a surrendered servant. But also, the devil doesn't like it when you're doing God's things, God's times, God's way, and God's place. And he brings opposition, fierce opposition at times. So this morning we're going to look at Acts chapter 16. We're going to read verses 10 through 24. And in 10 through 15, we're going to look at the opportunities that God opened up in Philippi. And then in verses 16 through 24, we're going to see a little bit of the opposition that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke faced. Let's go ahead and start in Acts chapter 16. Let's look in verse number 10. The word of God says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately, once again, what vision was this? This was the vision he had saw while seeking God's will. They called the man of Macedonia, said, come over and help us. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And we see he responds. Paul doesn't wait. You can't say the opposition or the problems come because Paul waits. It says, immediately we, once again, we noticed that last week as Luke wrote the book of Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this word we means that Luke has joined the group. And it says, endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So they were sure to this. They knew where they were supposed to go, and they head out there. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. Now, once again, these are day-by-day journeys. I'm sure there's people here who need the gospel, people here who need to hear the truth, but Paul and Silas, Luke and Timothy, they are on a mission. They want to be where God wants them to be. Verse number 12, and from thence to Philippi. Philippi here is a special city in this area of Macedonia. You see, it says, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. You say, what in the world's a colony? Remember, they're under Roman rule right now, and Roman Empire at different places would place strategic cities and would put them under Roman colonies. So they would act like Romans there. They would dress like Romans. They would take some maybe of the retired military and place them there to be the governors and the leaders of these areas. And because of this, this is their way of keeping peace in these different areas. In this different sections, they would have chief cities. They would have governors there. And the reason why these people would do it is because they would give them breaks, like they wouldn't have to pay taxes and things like that. But it's a chief city. It's a great place to start. Other that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So they get there. They're abiding certain days. Now, we remember before, what does Paul normally do when he goes into the city? He goes to the synagogue. Now, being a trained rabbi, he would many times have the opportunity to present at least once present the truth, what he believed. And because of that, many times he saw people saved or he got thrown out of the synagogue, whatever. But here in Philippi, there is no synagogue. Many times in most commentaries, and I probably would agree, this town is kind of anti-Semitic. They're against Jewish people. To be inside a synagogue, you at least had to have 10 different Jewish men that were going to be faithful and would be able to set up the synagogue. They obviously did not have that in this area. So Paul gets there. He's looking for the synagogue. There's no synagogue there. So what does Paul do? Paul finds out those that are maybe believers or those that at least have some Jewish leans to Jewish people or Jewish beliefs. And it says here, verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where Paul was wont to be made, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which we resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So we see that Paul finds a group, a small group, a group of ladies trying to worship God by the waterside, the riverside. And God leads them there. And we see that he preaches, he teaches them, says God opens up the heart. And it says in verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, so not only was she saved, her household was also saved, she besought us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So we see here the opportunity. I mean, God led them to Macedonia. They found these people, and so they got saved and began ministering. And the church of Philippi was started out of this house. So remember, that's a great opportunity. We'll look about that in just a minute. But we're going to read verses 16 through 24 and show you the opposition that they face. Verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, this was another day, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. Once again, this was a demon-possessed girl. Met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And once again, it's not the message. A little side note, don't mess around with demons. Don't mess around with satanic. Don't mess around with occults. That stuff is very wicked. The Bible speaks much about the wickedness there. Don't let your kids get involved in watching things that has a lot to do with magic and things like that. It is very, very, very dangerous. And that's not the message for today, but you see that these people, this girl was demon possessed. She bought her master. She was a slave girl, much gained by her soothsaying. Once again, demons cannot be everywhere, but demons can tell this little girl things or speak through the girl things that they had saw other people know that they thought this girl wouldn't know. So this is a very, very wicked thing that's going on here. And it's very wicked things today that are on the day and time that we live in, and these occults and Satanism that is just as real as in this day as it is today, and something we should be very careful about. Verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, we don't really know what's happening here, but we see that they're going to pray, and you got this girl that's following him saying, look, there's the servants of the Most High God to show us the way to salvation. And the funny thing is, it's truth, it's correct what she's saying, but there's a problem with it. Number one, is she mocking them? I don't think so. I think what the devil's trying to do here is the devil's trying to kind of confuse the people. Everyone knows who this girl is. Everyone knows that she's demon-possessed or has powers. And to associate with Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, there's going to be a group that's not going to want to listen to them. There's going to be a group that doesn't want to spend time with them. There's going to be a group that says, we're not going to have anything to do with them if this girl is giving recommendations for them. And the devil's good at this. He tries to many times present a portion of the truth or some of the truth and tries to get the world attached to the church to try to either weaken down the church, water down the message, and causes people to say, I don't want to have any part in it. Well, we see in the story here, it says verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did she many days. I don't know why Paul didn't cast out the demon to begin with. I don't know if Paul was trying to be considerate of the girl, because once the demon's gone, who knows what her masters will do to her. But Paul says, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of the Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw, now you think, well, great. The girl's been relieved. No longer is a demon there. Everyone would be happy. Not her masters. Masters don't care about her. The masters cared about money. It says, and when her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. You say, why just Paul and Silas? Well, Paul and Silas are both Jews. Once again, this town may be anti-Semitic. This town may, Luke, we know, was a Greek. He wouldn't have looked like a Jew, probably. Timothy was half Jew, half Gentile. So once again, the looks. Or maybe just because Paul and Silas were two of the main leaders is why they grouped them. We don't really know. And it says, when drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, once again, what's the first accusation? Being Jews. Once again, that's why I think they're against Jewish people in this area. Do exceedingly trouble our city. and they begin to tell lies and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Now, both Paul and Silas are both Romans, and we're going to see that in a little while, but they don't give them a chance to speak. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. What did they do? They had just helped a young lady. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. Once again, it's like Maximus Curti, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. We need to hear from you. Lord, we see this passage of Scripture. We see the opportunity, but Lord, we also see the opposition. Lord, help us to be faithful to be in your will. Help us to be faithful to the opportunities that you give us. And Lord, help us just let you take care of the rest. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us this morning. We need to hear from you. Lord, in the day and time we live in, we need the opportunities that you give to us. Lord, we need to be ready to face the opposition that's going to come to us too. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first thing I want you to see is the opportunity. Remember, God's will brings opportunity and brings also opposition. First thing I want you to see here, Paul has been on a great missionary journey already. He's already started churches. He's gone to synagogues, and you see spots and places where whole cities or majority of the city or parts of the city all turn to God. And Paul's here. He's in the center of God's will. He gets to Philippi. He can't find a synagogue. I don't know if he knew that ahead of time or not, but he's right where God wants him to be. So, okay, God's got something planned here. And so he looks and he finds out the people who are trying to worship God, finds out the people who are trying to serve God, and he hears about a group of women. And he goes by the riverside, he finds these women, and he presents the gospel. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? You know, a lot, to be honest with you, if I was Paul, I might have missed this. You say, what are you getting at? Well, Paul's used to seeing hundreds sitting there listening to him. And he just found a couple ladies sitting by the riverside. He didn't even have a chance to go to synagogue. Paul was probably thinking, is this it? Is this all? I want you to understand the opportunities that God gives us, sometimes they can be misleading. Sometimes the opportunities that God gives us can be something that we overlook. Sometimes there are opportunities that God gives us is something that we can question whether we should take advantage of it. What do we see Paul here? We see Paul being faithful to the opportunities that God gave him. I want you to remember that. Be faithful to the opportunities God gave you. Be faithful to the opportunities God gives you. Sometimes we overlook them. Sometimes we're misled by them. Sometimes we think, oh, it's not worth it. What's the big deal? Paul could have said, these are just a few women. Let's go to another town. Paul could have said, what's the big deal? Why in the world do I need to be faithful in teaching? Maybe I'll just let Timothy do it. He's young. He needs the experience. I don't want to mess with it. No. Paul's faithful here. Church, you know, sometimes we have opportunities that come our way every single day that we overlook, that we think is misleading, and we just say, it's not worth my time. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Christian, if you are in the middle of God's will, sometimes the opportunity God brings us is not the ones that we would say. It's not the way we would have it. We would say, God, okay, maybe bring us big, large families that come to our church, or maybe bring us people that are wealthy, or maybe bring us people that are talented, or maybe big. No. What opportunity has God given you? What opportunity has God given you to be faithful to? That's what Paul is coming across here. He comes with Paul. There's Silas. There's Luke. There's Timothy. There's a whole group there ready to win the city to God. And only people they can find is a few ladies by the riverside. They have a choice. Am I going to be faithful to the opportunity God's given us? Or am I going to just look right past it? Don't get me wrong. There are sometimes opportunities are difficult. Sometimes in working with young people and dealing with young people, sometimes they are so far gone that you're like, man, is it worth it? Why should I invest my time? Why should I invest my energy? Or maybe you have a Sunday school class, so you only have one or two kids in there, and you're like, is that even worth studying for? Take advantage. Be faithful with the opportunities God's given you. Because if you're faithful over these little opportunities, you know what? God's going to let you be faithful over the big things too. But if we can't be faithful with maybe that one child in my Sunday school class or those few on the van route or with my own husband and with my own wife and with my own children, if we cannot be faithful with those opportunities, how can we ever expect God to give us more opportunities? Christian, you don't see here Paul. You sit here, you read this story. It says in verse number 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted there, and certain women named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. She already had a desire to know God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I want you to understand here that God wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful to the opportunity he's given you. Stop saying, hey, I'm only one person. I can't do much. Young people, stop saying, hey, I'm just a kid. What can I do? But you see throughout the Bible, God used the lad that had the five loaves and the two fishes. God used Naaman's little servant girl. God, they took advantage of the opportunities as young people. And even as adults, you see, you say, why? What's the big deal? Why do I need to be faithful? No, God gives you opportunities. Don't swander away your family's opportunity. Be a blessing to them. Be a blessing to your mom. Be a blessing to your dad. Parents, be a blessing to your children. Be a blessing to your grandchildren. Be a blessing to your great-grandchildren. You say, it doesn't seem like I'm making a difference. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. Be faithful. God gives you an opportunity. Be faithful. Say, well, it's not much. Who cares? Be faithful with the opportunity God's given you. He's saying if you're going to be faithful with that which is least, you're also going to be faithful with that as much. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 4:2? Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Church, sometimes we wish it was different opportunities. Sometimes we wish maybe it was different people. God's given us opportunities. Let's be faithful. Sometimes I have people ask me, well, why do you keep on trying to reach that person? Why do you keep on praying? Or why do you keep on bothering them? It's because I look at every individual as an opportunity. Sometimes are they hard cases? Yes. Sometimes are they annoying? Yes. Sometimes would it be easier to give up? Yes. But you know what? It's an opportunity God's given me, and I want to be faithful with it. Church, let's be faithful with the opportunities that God's given us. You see in the story here what God does here. I think it's amazing where it says about Lydia in verse number 14, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things that which were spoken of Paul. Paul is explaining to her the gospel, and it's kind of like God opens up her heart. No, God's the one that does the work. God's the one that opens up her heart and shows her her need. And Christian, this is where we got to be at. We got to remember, it's not us. We don't pick and choose the people that we are going to witness to and that we're going to save, that we're going to see saved. No. We're going to take advantage of the opportunities God gives us, and we're going to allow God, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit's the one that draws them. The Holy Spirit's the one that speaks to them. And if God is speaking to your heart this morning about your need of salvation, don't keep on ignoring it. That's God trying to open your heart and show you have a need here. Jesus Christ saw your need. You are a sinner and you need to be saved. And Jesus Christ came to this world. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose again. He paid your penalty for you. And God's speaking to your heart. Let God work in your heart. God's trying to open your heart up to the truth. You need the gospel. You need the saving power of Jesus Christ, because it's only through him can an individual know the truth about eternity in heaven. What we do, we need to be faithful. We need to present the gospel with passion and let God do the work. We need to present the gospel to those that we have the opportunity. Well, that's not the person I'd rather talk to. They don't look like the way I would. They're not the age I like. No. Be faithful to the opportunity. Well, I wish I had a husband that did this. I wish I had a wife. Be faithful to your opportunities God gives you. Be faithful. I think when Paul got there and he had so much success on his first missionary journey, he wanted to go this way. God says no. He wants to go this way. God says no. He goes to Philippi because that's where God sends him. He's in the middle of God's will. And what happens? All he can find is a couple of women sitting by the riverside. Does he give up? No. He's faithful. Second thing I want you to see about the opportunities, and not only be faithful in opportunities God gives you, but also opportunities can produce results you never imagined. Opportunities can produce results that you never could imagine. We got to leave the results up to God. We got to believe when it says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We got to say, you know what? This is God's opportunity. God sent me here. I'm doing God's work, God's will, God's way. And I'm just going to let God take care of it. And you know what? God does something special. It's above all that they probably would ever ask or thought. You know, in their mind, they probably say, well, maybe if we start with these few ladies, maybe then we'll get their husbands, or maybe then we'll get... You know, what happens? God sees this woman saved. This woman not only gets saved, she gets baptized, her whole house gets baptized. Then she goes, and you see, it says that she takes care of them. She says, look, if you found me faithful, that means over a period of time, if you've seen that my true conversion, if you know that I'm truly a believer, come, stay at my house. Let me take care of you. And then from that house, the Church of Philippi begins. And that blows your mind. What opportunity God. God can take a few women down by the riverside that's trying to worship God and that's trying to pray and do something spectacular to where you have a church in Philippi that later on you see the book that's written to the Church of Philippi that is a church that is loving, kind, supporting Paul. A fantastic church. What happened? Paul was faithful to his opportunity. And God took that opportunity and he blessed it and he multiplied it. And you go back and read some of the stories of the great men of God in the past that have been won to Christ. You think about D.L. Moody, a famous evangelist. When he was 18 years old, his Sunday school teacher felt led by God to take advantage of the opportunity. I don't know how big his class was, but Moody was working as a shoekeeper or shoe salesman or whatever it was. And this man, Kimball, went there and he won him to Christ. You know, this man could have said, you know what? I don't have that many kids in my class. I don't have time. It's D.L. Moody. He's 18 years old. He probably, you know, no. He says, God gave him this opportunity. I'm going to be a good steward of this opportunity. I'm going to reach that young man that's in my Sunday school class. And God goes and grabs a hold of Moody and Moody's heart. And the Bible talks about how, history tells us about how Moody shook a couple continents for God through his preaching and teaching. You think about Spurgeon. Spurgeon was intended to go to church somewhere. Because of a great snowstorm, he could not make it to the other church. He goes by and he hears a singing at another church. And he's there and there's only a few people there, maybe 10 or 15. The preacher couldn't even make it. Don't have to worry about it. If the snow comes, I can still make it. I'm willing to walk to church if I have to. So, for you that don't know, I live behind the church, but that's a whole other story. But there you got 10 or 15 people and they're there singing. Moody, Spurgeon just kind of wanders into the auditorium and it says that this lay preacher or layman gets up, wasn't very educated. Moody even says wasn't very smart, didn't sound very eloquent. You know what he did? He got up and preached the word of God. What most of us would have done says, let's just go ahead and cancel church. The preacher's not here. Only guy here that knows anything about the Bible can't even talk right. Let's just sing some songs and go home. Now that man that couldn't even speak properly got up and he took the opportunity he had and he says, he preached a message, look and live. You know what happened? Spurgeon got saved that day. Why? Why? It's because that man said, you know what? I'm going to take the opportunity God's given me and I'm going to do the best that I can for God and let God take care of the rest. Christian, let's take the opportunities God's given us. Let's be faithful and let God take care of the rest. You think about in the Bible, there's stories about the little boy that had the lunch and God took it and multiplied it. He had an opportunity to give his lunch. He was the only one. Even Andrew comes and says, what is this amongst this little bit amongst so much, so many? You know, what can we do? There was an opportunity. Naaman, that little servant girl, you know what? What if my master was in Israel, there's a guy there that can heal him. You know, she took the opportunity. Christian, let's make sure we take advantage of the opportunities he gives us. God gave Ananias the opportunity to pray with Paul. You know, so much that we need to learn to develop relationships. So much we need to see, okay, God has given me this opportunity. I need to learn how to be faithful to this opportunity. I need to be faithful with my neighbors, my friends, my coworkers. I need to be faithful with visitors. I need to take advantage of every opportunity God's given me because I do not know what God could do with that life. I'm thankful for the people who took advantage of the opportunity to help me. And I've told you before, I was a pretty smart-like kid. I rode the bus. You know, to be honest with you, I probably would be the guy that most people would cross off the list and say, oh, don't worry about him. But there were people who were faithful, who saw the opportunity, who saw my potential through Jesus Christ and It was faithful in teaching me, and faithful in encouraging me, faithful in governing my ball games, faithful in encouraging me in my walk with God over and over and over throughout the years. And you know what? I'm thankful for them. Am I anything special? No. I know that. But they saw the opportunity, and they said, you know what? I'm going to let God do what he can through me with that young man's life. Next thing I want you to see is not only the opportunities that comes the way, but also the opposition. Verse 16 kind of takes a little bit of turn. We go from the opportunity, and now we see that there's a problem. Pastor, that doesn't seem fair. These four guys left their homes, left their comforts, to go travel to a place where God told them to go, and you're saying they're having problems. I don't see how that's fair. But you know what? It may not be fair, but everything's not always fair. And you know who told us that? Jesus told us that. Jesus told his disciples, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And that's our memory verse for the week for our church. See, that's kind of an odd verse. No. If we would get under this understanding, if we get in our hearts and we get in our minds, and the Bible say, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we get to this spot and we understand that persecution is going to come, that problems are going to come, that opposition is going to come, we'll be ready to respond. We'll be ready to answer the right way. We'll be ready to say, you know what? I can glory in that so the power of Christ can rest upon me. I can see the opposition. I can see that heartache's going to come. I can see when I'm doing God's will, taking advantage of the opportunities. The devil's not going to sit back and say, oh, go ahead and let him do it. Oh, go ahead and let somebody else be saved. Go ahead and let another Sunday school class get built. Go ahead and let another bus route come. Go ahead and let another family get right. No, the devil's going to do what he can to oppose you and stop you. And here it begins with this little girl. This little girl goes and starts mocking, or goes and starts causing problems, so people probably didn't want to listen to him. First thing I want to see under opposition is opposition comes to a faithful witness. Opposition comes to a faithful witness. Whenever God's servants move into an area where Satan has a hold on it, you can count on the opposition and persecution. Opposition is a fact. The Christian who has conscience of being opposed must learn to be vigilant, for he is in danger. If you're going to be a faithful Christian, get ready for the opposition. But see, the opposition wasn't this little girl. The Bible tells us, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Paul wasn't wrestling against this little girl. Paul wasn't even wrestling against her masters. Paul wasn't even wrestling against the guy that they brought him in front of the magistrate. No, Paul was wrestling against and fighting against the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. If we would get to this understanding that the opposition that is coming is the devil, it's Satan, we got to stand up, we got to fight, we realize where it's coming from. It's not from another individual. It's not from another family. It's not from our country. It's not from this. It's not from that. It's not from the liberals. It's not from this community. It's not from... No, it's the devil that's trying to get you to stop. And he's opposing you. He's opposing you. The church, remember, opposition will come to a faithful witness. If you're going to be faithful, there's going to be problems. Opposition also can be defeated. I love in verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I think that's awesome. I don't know what the opposition can be defeated. The problems that you're having, you can have victory through Jesus Christ. Paul looks at him and says, get out. You know, the devil couldn't say, no. The demon says, no, I'm having a good time in here. No. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the power of the name of Jesus Christ, they had to get out. We can have victory in our time of opposition. Think about the Bible says, you are of God, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can survive this time of trial. God can help you through it. Think about what it says in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Christians, when you're doing what you're supposed to do, God will bring the opportunities, and those are exciting, and God can multiply them, and you can see things happen that you never ever thought would happen. But also the opposition is going to come. But you can defeat that opposition with Jesus Christ's help. Next thing I want you to see is the opposition doesn't play fair. You say, where do you get that at? Well, you think about it. You know, if this little girl got healed, wouldn't you be excited? No, they don't care about that. They only care about their own interests. And that's how the devil uses people today. Only cares about their own interests. People today that call evil good and good evil. People today that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The opposition is not going to play fair. And don't think it's going to change today. The day and time that we live in, especially in the country we live in, you know, to be a God-fearing Christian that wants to live for God, you're going to be a minority. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be mocked at. But the Bible says, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. We can't be worried about that. We can't be concerned about that. You know what we got to be concerned with? Taking advantage of the opportunities God's given us. Just keep on going. You see, what's going to happen is they're going to be thrown in jail. It says at midnight, they're singing songs. It's next week's message. But God gets the glory again. The jailkeeper gets saved. And the jailkeeper's family gets saved. And this church is planted in Lydia's house. Praise the Lord. Why did it happen? Well, the devil thought that the opposition would cause them to stop. But instead, God gets the glory once again. You can have victory in your opposition. It's not going to fight fair. They bring you before the magistrates. This is the Roman colony. The Roman colony, Roman Empire, was known for truth, known for justice, known for fairness. Paul and Silas didn't even get the chance to say, I'm a Roman citizen. Because if all they had to do was say, I'm a Roman citizen, and they could not beat them without a trial. That's why you'll see when they go to release them, they says, well, was it legal for you to beat us, being Roman citizens? And they're all worried. Opposition is going to come. You can have victory. Opposition just isn't going to play fair. When the world slaps you around, don't be surprised. Remember, Jesus said, it hated me first. Why does that all matter? It's because we got to be prepared and we got to be ready. Because opposition should not stop us. Opposition should not stop us. You know, why don't you go ahead and take your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4, there's some wonderful verses that come talking about trials and the testing of our faith. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, I think we can see that God can use these oppositions for His glory. They shouldn't stop us. Things aren't going my way. Jesus told you they wasn't going to go your way. Jesus said you can find joy in your strength. Jesus said you can find happiness even in hard times, if we focus on Him. 1 Peter chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse number 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. There it is. Don't be surprised. In opposition, if you're going to live for God, if you're going to want to make a difference, guess what? Problems are going to come as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not something that's strange. But what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to quit? Are you supposed to throw in the towel? No, it says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. There's a day coming. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Happy are ye. If you're doing what you're supposed to and something bad happens, it's okay. You can still find joy in Christ. You can find your happiness in the fact of what you're doing for God. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Man, doesn't that sound awesome? The Spirit of God's going to rest upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, and in other man's matters. He's saying, look, don't be suffering for this sake. If you're going to suffer for good things, for God's sake, then you'll be happy. But if you're suffering for sin's sake, you know what? You're going to be miserable. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. You don't have anything to be ashamed of with your trials and your tribulations and your problems. But let him glorify God in this behalf. We should be glorifying God. Man, that's where Paul and Silas, at midnight, they can be praying to God and praising God and singing to God. I mean, their backs were beaten, they were torn up, the stripes, and they were thrown into the innermost prisons. And we're not talking about the prisons we have today that has cable TV, has a weight set out in the yard, you know, has basketball courts, air conditioning. We're talking about a dirty, stinking place where there's probably rats. And, you know, they strip them down for the most part naked before they beat them. And then they thrust them in the inner prison. They put these in, and they said they start singing at midnight. Man, the power of what praise can do. And the power of what God, if, how do they get that? They're looking at it as an opportunity. They're saying, okay, God sent us here. We did what God wants us to do. I'm going to be faithful with this opportunity. I'm going to let God take care of it. The opposition comes. We don't let the opposition stop us. We realize that the opposition is able to be defeated. We realize the opposition isn't going to play fair. We're not living for them. We're living for God, and we're going to let God take care of all of this. So we can have the opportunity once again to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Next week, you're going to see that. You're going to see that their praise caused someone who would be a hard case to receive Christ and his family. Praise the Lord for that. Why? They were faithful to the opportunities God's given them. As we close, a couple things to think about. Are you in God's will? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you living for him? Because if you are, that's going to bring some opportunities. And if you're living for him, are you taking advantage of those opportunities? I'm talking about family opportunities to be a witness, to be a blessing, to be a testimony from a child's opportunity, to be a blessing to his parents, from a parent's opportunity, be a blessing to a child, grandparents. Are you taking advantage? Are you being faithful to those opportunities, to your neighbors and to your family and to your coworkers, to your church responsibility? Are you being faithful with the opportunities God's given you? And then just step back and let God take care of it. Next thing is opposition will come. Are some of you facing a hard time right now? The Bible says God told us to expect it. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be sugar-coated. There's going to be issues and problems that come. But remember, that opposition is not greater than God. Remember, God, you can defeat that opposition. That opposition should not stop you. That opposition is not going to come, is not going to be fair. And if you're going to be faithful, opposition's going to come. Remember, Paul and Silas, Luke and Timothy, exact place where God told them to go, and they still found opposition. You can be exactly where God tells you to be, and you still might have problems. Question is, are you going to be one of the ones singing at midnight? this afternoon, I want to encourage you, if you're not a Christian, let us have somebody take a Bible and show you about what Jesus Christ did for you. As God opened the heart of Lydia to her need of the gospel and how she responded and she became a Christian and she got baptized, same thing can happen for you. It's not a hard thing. It may be a difficult thing to realize and repent and say that you need it, but it's something that Jesus has already done all the work for you. It's receiving and believing. And Christian, if you're here today, are you being faithful to those opportunities? I know lots of times as I was writing the message, there's many opportunities. I wish I would have maybe followed up a little bit more with this person. Or I wish I would have given a track here. Or I wish I would have presented the gospel here. Or I wish I would have went a little farther. God's just asking us to be faithful. The opportunities God brings your way, be faithful. Let God take care of those. The opposition's going to come. Don't be surprised by it. Don't think it's something strange that's happening. He tells us not to think it's strange. Be ready for it. Be ready to respond with joy, as the Bible says. Many of us moan, many of us groan. I moan and I groan, but we know the opposition's coming. Let it not surprise us, but instead, let us be prepared and let us be ready. Who does that? Paul and Silas does here in a little while. They're going to be singing at midnight. They were ready. They knew the opposition was coming, and the opposition wasn't people. It was the devil. Be ready for the fight. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.